Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Hazreti Resul-i Pak sallallahu aleyhi ve sellem was assigned the duty that must cover all mankind right till the end. Great, great task. Must cover all mankind right till the end. We have to see what were the root causes of human failure, human weaknesses, human wrongs. So if the root causes are shown, then they know, all right, these are the places, these are the areas we need to work on. So Rasul-e Pak found that there were three main causes. One is wealth, number two is pride. One, wealth, one is pride. وَنَقَصَتْ صَدَقَةٌ مِّنْ مَالٍ وَمَا طَبْءٍ. The third, the heart to overlook, not to be obstinate, the heart to overlook. So one is wealth, one is pride, and one is not to be bent on one's own obstinacy. These three things, they destroy man. If you look at Hercules, right, it was a combination of the first two, wealth and his pride. Because when he saw the letter of Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he cross-checked it with his scriptures, he found that this is the Nabi that he has been promised in other scriptures. And he said, لَكُنْتُ عِنْدَهُ لَغَسَلْتُ رِجْلِي. Had I been in his presence, I would have washed his feet. So he knew that. But then, the thing that kept him behind is his people are not for it, not ready for it. When they're not ready for it, his fear was now the power that I got, the position I got, whatever I've got, I'll lose everything. I won't accept this. In around the 6th or the 7th year of the Hijrah, there was a delegation that came to Rasul-e Pak from Najran. Najran was one of the Christian headquarters. So in this delegation, the three main people were there. One is the great Christian Alim, he was there. And then two others that accompanied him were, one was the more influential person in that area, and one was this Alim's brother or cousin. Delegation of 70, but three prominent people are there. And en route, this cousin, his name was Ahan. So his animal had just slipped. So he cursed Rasul-e Pak saying, Ta'isa al-Ab'ad. May that distant person, may he be destroyed. So the alim there was Abdul Masih. So Abdul Masih cautioned him that you be cursed. You know you're cursing. You're cursing the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. Al-Nabiyul Muntazar. The one whose arrival is expected. So the cousin asked him, then if it is that he is the expected, awaited Nabi, then why are you going to debate with him? Then you know that he is the Nabi. You understand that he is the one that has been promised in the scriptures. Then what makes you to go and debate with him, challenge him? So, see, when a person is his head is to the wall, then he'll spill the beans. So he says, لِأَنَّ الْمُلُوكَ أَعْطَوْنَا مَالًا كَثِيرًا وَأَكْرَمُونَا. They've given us two things. One is they've given us might and power, and number two is they give us a lot of wealth. If we know أَسْلَمْنَا, if we don't accept it, they will take all these things away from us. So that knowledge is not a guarantee that you remain straight. You know, in this day what has happened, people have invested in knowledge. Right? Knowledge is part of the requirement, but it's not a guarantee that you got the knowledge, so you'll be right. Abdul Masih had the knowledge, and he said that this was the Nabi. But then, what stopped him after that? So just that knowledge is not a sufficient guarantee or a protection for your iman. What is required is that grace of Allah Ta'ala, that is a result of your humility. No matter what you are, but before the grandeur and the majesty of Allah Ta'ala, you just humble yourself. So you consider it, you agree and you say this is just the grace of Allah Ta'ala. In your actions, in your behavior, in your statements, then this must come out. That I, it's not me, it is just the grace of Allah Ta'ala that has blessed me and covered me. Otherwise, what would happen? One friend of mine, he tells me, around the early 1970s or so, Hazrat or Masihullah Sabra traveled to London, right? So he traveled from South Africa, arrived at Heathrow Airport, and then now he's taking the tube train to meet up with Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah Ali. So now, he's there in that one compartment and there's nobody with him. And just then one young, beautiful white girl, she comes, she's sitting opposite, and she says, would you mind I come and sit next to you? So now, for that moment, his mind was clouded now. He's alone, nobody knows him, and this is such a chance, such an opportunity you've got. So she came and sat right next to him. And within seconds, she was already fondling. Right? And he was game for it, right? It's happening there. Right? Playing for about half an hour or so. And then he just stood up, shocked, and he spat on her, swore her, and he left. Now, all this happened, and then the train reached up to Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah Ali. So Hazrat said, Haji Sahab, ye mahaz khuda ka fazal tha. Varna, Muttalaf hone mein koi der nahi tha. There was no delay in you getting involved in this thing here. It was just the grace of Allah Ta'ala that saved you at the 11th hour. So now, I ask you again, didn't you know that zina or playing with a girl was haram? Did you know? Didn't you all? Right? Then, at that moment, his mind just became blank. And he's joining it, right? And then the cover was the grace of Allah. The grace of Allah came in and stopped it straight away. So how largely do we depend on the grace of Allah Ta'ala for everything, be it our spiritual security or material security? How large do we depend? So Rasulullah identified these are the problems: wealth, pride, obstinacy. This overtakes a person, then his mind, his reasoning all gets dull, everything goes away. Can't see things. People are,
thinking is strange. Everybody, every person has a mind of his own. And then that's the Qudrat of Allah Ta'ala. The world present is about 8 billion, right? But all the 8 billion have different temperaments, different ways, different preferences. Right? Someone can't do without achar, and someone cannot see achar. Someone cannot do without spices, and someone cannot tolerate spice. Someone cannot start off without tea, and someone can't see the sight of tea. You see, temperaments are so diverse. One is going one direction, one is on the other direction. Temperaments are all totally different. Different. Now this is the Qudrat of Allah Ta'ala that is creating so many people at one time and with such diverse temperaments. Temperaments are totally diverse. One person is making dua that I need to see Khizr alayhi salam. You see, you know, people have got all different types of temperaments. Thinking is different, temperament is different. I need to see Khizr alayhi salam. Making dua, dua, dua. Allah Ta'ala sees that you are interested, right? Two youngsters, they heard that on the night of Qadr, all the du'as are answered. So they took a big rock, a 50-100 kilo rock, and they covered it with a sheet. And Allah Ta'ala, make this into gold. Big rock now, 100 kilos, whole night, make it to gold. In the morning, they opened that thing, they found it to be a rock. Now, if that thing had turned into gold, it would have been a problem for them. Because he would have said, it's my dua that brought it, made it gold. He would say, no, it was my dua. Hey, he was half sleeping. I was doing the crying. So that gold wouldn't have changed their fate, wouldn't have changed that. So Allah Ta'ala gives you and gives what is better for you after you make dua. Not what you would like, but what he would like. So he's making dua now that I must see Khizr alayhi salam. This is one of the problems in tasawwuf. You see something happens supernatural, you see something, then either you're running after it, or you count yourself to be a fortunate person because I am seeing this, I go through this experience all the time. And these chaps, they don't get it. I see it and they don't get it. So his mind is running towards the experiences that he gets. Or some light that he sees. Or he may have seen an angel sometimes, right? So he feels now I am a selected person, you know, all the righteous people are shortlisted and I am amongst them. So this is how he thinks. Therefore, Ibn Atta Iskandarani, he says, person that thinks like this, that he is like the ass of a mill, you know. You know, you got a milling stone to grind wheat or to squeeze oil, right? So you got an ass that will turn the lever. And when that thing turns the lever, then the seeds are crushed, and then the oil comes out from that, you see. So that ass is going around and turning that lever, that ass thinks, you know, hey, what a distance I've covered, you know, miles and miles of distance. But an ass is an ass after all. It doesn't realize it is at the same spot where it started. The spot, and you're still at the same spot, you haven't covered any distance. But it doesn't realize. So, these experiences, etc., they're saying that if you are running after that, then you are like that ass. Because you think you have covered a lot. But you don't realize you are at the same spot that you started the whole journey. not after, you haven't made any type of progress. So the intention will be is the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Pleasure, and I have in my heart to show appreciation for all the favors that Allah has done. And the reward comes, then it's a boon, it's a great thing, it's a plus. But we cannot stop thanking Him for the good that He's done. In every respect, the good that He's done, then it requires that we thank Him so much. Deen, we've got a tawfiq to do the right things, got good families, children, everybody are normal, not abnormal, right? So many things that we have got. So, in my mind, I understand that, you know, up now till the end, if we keep thanking Him, we will not be able to do it. So, that ibadah is to thank Him. Alright, in the process, it is the grace of Allah Ta'ala that He will grant you His pleasure. So His pleasure is a boon. It's not just, don't think it's a remuneration. You think, no, I did something and I need to be remunerated. No. It is just a boon, an extra, you know. It's a boon that you want, an extra that you want. Otherwise, who can say that His worship or His service is worthy of acceptance? Can you say that? Can't say that. One rakat, and you don't know where your mind's running, here, there, everywhere, right? Doesn't it happen? One rakat, one sajda also sometimes, where your mind runs away. Sometimes, oh, terrible things, you know, your mind can run away. Terrible, stupid, shameful things, mind just goes away. And you can't control it. Can you control the mind? Now, then, can you say that I deserve so much of reward? When your mind is all over the place. One student in those days in India, there was a lot of emphasis on Persian and then on logic, right? So one of the students studying logic, he came to this deli, was producing, was processing oil. The ass and a liver, and the thing is turning the liver around and squeezing the oil. So he came there. So he's asking the tali, why do you have a bell around the neck of the donkey? So the tali says, you see, I will do my other work and I need to see that this donkey is doing its work. So as long as it's moving, the bell will be sounding, see. If it stops, then I know that thing is not on duty, that I have to wreck it. It must continue with its rounds. So the student, for a moment, he's doing all logic and reasoning. He says to the tali, but what if the donkey stands on one posture and shakes its head like that? Then, shaking the head so it will ring. So that tells him, you better get out from here, because you will teach my donkey the wrong things. You see, man and the diversity in his thinking, temperament, how offside, onside, wherever he goes. So the blessing is to be on course, that's a blessing. And that requires that at any given moment, you think that it's just the blessing of Allah Ta'ala. Nothing but the blessing of Allah Ta'ala. I was in that, listening to the introduction of the Shaykh of his kitab, Durood Sharif, right? So it says, primarily, entirely, this is the grace of Allah. That's how it starts. Introduction. And then, the second thing is the blessings of the Mubarak wording of Rasulullah Pak Sassam that's making this happen. And number three is then the dua of the righteous people that are encouraging me to write the kitab. Otherwise me, I'm not worthy of anything. So see how it starts with the grace of Allah Ta'ala, then the Mubarak words of Rasulullah Pak Sassam that I'm writing, And then the du'as of the elders that are encouraging me to write this. So that mind must be like that all the time. One of the Haji Sahib, his murid, he says, Alhamdulillah, I was in Lohari and I spent one chilla there, and all the days when I sawa lakh ka zikr kiya, 125,000 zikr every day. Hazrat, ye sab aapki barkat hai. So Hazrat corrects him, saying, ye Khuda Taala ka fazl hai. It's the grace of Allah Taala. Baki aapko isi sochna chahiye. Aapko to isi tarah se sochna chahiye. This is the grace of Allah Taala, right? But you should think to yourself that it is the blessings of the dua of my Shaykh that this happened. See, so a combination of the both. Because Allah Ta'ala wants what He wants, that you acknowledge His favors, and also you acknowledge the du'as and the favors of your elders. مَنْ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ النَّاسِ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ اللَّهِ. You are not appreciative to your elders, you are moving, can't move. That is why it is recommended, right? After every namaz, then you make du'a for your dini elders, through whom you're getting your dini life. See? Namaz, sunnat, adherence, you're getting something in your life, you make dua for them. Even if it is just a half a minute or a quarter minute dua, but you're making dua for them, you're taking cognizance of them. You're making dua, reading Durood Sharif, and with that heart, that is a token of appreciation. Right? Then you're making dua for those who had brought deen to you, your ustads, your elders, etc., who had passed on deen to you, making dua for them as well. With that frame of mind, that I'm indebted to them. See. So you ask for their muhabbat, and you ask for their barakat and muhabbat, and that the respect must leave your heart. See, azmat, muhabbat of these people, that must remain. If you have that in your heart and the understanding of the favor, then definitely you will feel obligated. You know, that I am obligated to these people here. It's because of them I am what I am. I'm doing this because of them. But say, for example, now you just say, who are they? Who's they? Who are they? Why must I include them? Now, you will also feel too terrible. Say, for example, your wife says, who are you? Allah Baghdad gives everything. So who's you? Who are you? Who are you? So do you feel appreciated? All of us know that it's Allah Baghdad does, but the person that's in between, you have to respect, recognize, and be grateful for the whole thing to run well. So you understand that it is from Allah Ta'ala, then this was the person that was the courier. He was the courier, and that person as the courier, he also needs to be appreciated, thanked, and held in esteem and respect. Now that knowledge and now that blessings, they flow. So there's something that's required for the knowledge and the blessings to flow. Any deen work. And it may be sometimes that some of them or the senior is making a mistake here or there. Still our portion is, just listen. Listen to the things. If it's against the Sharia, alright, you excuse yourself. But otherwise, that presence of that elder is a blessing. Muhammad Sahib Rahman says, koi zaabta ka bara hai. He isn't superior, but in the whole administration, he is counted to be the senior. So he is also a blessing. In the whole administration, he is a senior. Though he is not senior in reward or in piety and righteousness, but he is counted amongst the senior, then your blessing is just to show him that respect for his seniority. He says, ye bhi ek bahut hi bari khair ki cheez hai. That person that is there, that senior, he is a blessing. Like you see in family, sometimes you see that there is a senior, right? And things are moving smoothly. And the day that person goes, then everything begins to collapse. Though that senior may not be a very pious person, but he is counted as a senior. So his presence, that also is a blessing. It keeps everything running smoothly. So our blessing of all is just to respect that person. That's why that hadith says that you listen to that Amir, وَإِنْ كَانَ عَبْدًا حَبْشِيًا رَأَسُهُ كَالزَّبِيبُ. He will listen to that Amir, the one that is appointed above you, even if he's a black person, even in Habash, right? And even if his hair is twisted, right? Like a raisin, even then you'll respect him. So he doesn't have any social standing. He doesn't have the piety, but he is now appointed as the elder. So just be good. I was reading Shaykh al-Hadith Rahmatullah's one article, you know. So Mulana took up employment in some madrasa, big madrasa, he took up employment. So looking at the advice the Shaykh is giving this Mulana is also quite senior. So he is giving advice to Mulana. He says, whatever your elder is now in the madrasa, you just see to it that he is happy with you. Now, all know that they got some weaknesses. But the Shaykh's advice to his Mulana that has just taken employment, see that that senior of yours is, please keep him happy always. Respect, happy. So there is a thing like administration, there is a thing like work going smoothly. But now, if you understand this thing here, then you see that the work goes very well. And then Allah Pak is the doer. If you think that there is a mistake or something, you're trying your best. Right? You're trying without causing any problems, not ruffling the feathers. Then Allah Ta'ala creates a solution for that. Whatever it is, but He creates that solution. But are you doing it right? Are you showing right? So, now the tendency is, I would say no, the thing is going wrong because of him. Him, he is the spanner in the works. How many of us think, hey, but I'm not doing it right, I'm not showing the respect. I'm not doing it how I'm supposed to be doing it. Perhaps I'm the cause of this thing. The collapse and the failure, it's not that person, perhaps it's me. I'm not doing this right, I'm not speaking right, I'm not showing the respect, I'm not cooperating like how I'm supposed to be. So maybe it's me that's the spanner in the work, I must be right. So how many of us do you think like that? That is why there's a lot of emphasis on qalb salim. So what Haris Muhasibi has, his statement, Haris Muhasibi, great alim, great buzuk of his time, he says, مَا رَأَيْنَا شَيْئًا أَنْفَى لِلْوَسْوَاسِ مِنَ الْفُدُولِ. He says, we haven't found anything that will repel all these traits of him. He is doing this then, why is he doing that, why is this happening? So, we haven't found anything to be a greater repellent of waswasa and stray thoughts than leaving out things that don't concern us. He's a very saying, مَا رَأَيْنَا شَيْئًا أَنْفَى لِلْوَسْوَاسِ مِنْ تَرْكِ الْفُدُولِ. You leave all these things and you see all the things. It doesn't concern me, my deen, my dunya, I'm doing my work, I leave it out. And then you see everything just falls in place. So, this is what's going on in the world presently. So, we are all quick to point fingers. He is the cause, he did this, he did that, he did that. But how many of us look within us? That's one of the reasons of problems escalating. Fazma Yunus Patel Sahib, Ahmadullah Ali, so he received some, obviously running madrasa, all that, so he received a donation from some of the Islamic banks, right? And he returned it. a good amount. So those people came and came to complain, that why do you return it? You know, other institutes we sent, but they take it and they also remind us that we got other projects, must consider us for the other projects as well. Then once Mullah spilled the beans. You see, the problems that are in masjids, madrasas, khanqahs, markas, jamaats, right? In all works, the problem is because of the type of wealth that is pouring in, wrong wealth pouring in, and this is bringing about the disunity and the breakup in the earth. See, I thought about it for some time, but what's causing all these differences? So this is the thing that is bringing about the differences. Because you are what you eat, you're taking aise waise paise ko kha rahe, and we think to ourselves, I got the money, so I got the clout, I got the influence. And I don't have it, then no influence, no clout. They say, paisa phenk aur tamasha dekh. You want to see it, throw the money, you see it. But how many of us think that I need to see that it's absolutely clean and pure, so that the right influence passes on? It's not wrong influences. It's the right type of influence that passes on. So you see this hadith, ma naqasat malum, sadaqatun ma naqasat sadaqatun min mali, right? One is wealth, that's the problem. The second is pride. So sometimes I'm not included, right? So then the pride has the better over me. Why am I not included? Why am I not consulted? Why? See? So that pride comes in, that ego. So do we think also ourselves that there is a weakness within me? My pride is having the better over me. Do we ever think that? And then if we thought about it, we cry to Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. Okay, you know? This thing here, I'm becoming a victim of all this thing here. Allah Ta'ala, you are the doer. So please, you, just with your blessings, with your grace, you save me. Do we ever do that? So we're talking about this person, want to meet Khizr alayhi salam in Delhi. Right? Making dua for about 6-7 months, he made dua. Eventually, he got to meet Khizr alayhi salam. Said, no, you know, you were making dua to meet me. I am Khizr in person. So, what do you want? So he says, well, I want that you make dua for me that I become a very wealthy person. All Delhi, I must become the wealthiest person. So Khizr alayhi salam is telling him, that may not be the appropriate things. No, this is what I want. So, right, if you want, I'll make dua, but I give you a respite for 6-7 months. Go and see all the wealthy people, discuss. You know, you're seeing a problem from one perspective, you're not seeing it holistically, it's not right. From one perspective you saw, and you're asking for that, maybe that may not be the better thing for you. But nonetheless, I give you time for 6 months, go and see. So he's going to Delhi, this person, wealthy, that person, the other person, hot person. Eventually he comes to a jeweler, rocks up on a jeweler. He's, I think he's flourishing for children, and the branches that he's got, and the amount of jewelry that he's got, the business that he's doing, jewelry, you know. Obviously, jewelry now is thousands. Profits coming in thousands. What is somebody selling potatoes? He's selling jewelry. And I think it's flourishing. So he contacted the boss. Said, see, I got a problem. I need to make a dua. And this is what has happened. So I want to ask you, I'm making this dua, what do you think about it? He says, brother, don't ever make this dua. But I see you flourishing so well. Wealth pouring in, you got a position, you got influence, and things are just working out for you. everything is just going so smooth for you. So by telling you, you won't make this type of a dua. So then he says, you see what happened? I just made nikah. And just about 1 year into the marriage, and my wife felt very seriously ill. You know, we were so thick, inseparable, we were so thick. And then she felt very, very seriously sick. So I used to be on the health side crying, right? What's happened to my wife? All that. So serious. And she's lost hope that she won't pull through. And he's showing her his love, you know. So in that love talk, she says to him, but you know, men, as long as we are around, then they make this type of statement. But when we're not in the equation, then they're jumping onto some other woman. So no, me, I won't do that. So what's the guarantee? So he went and castrated himself. On this side, Allah Pak's come, and the wife of his just recuperated very well and strong. And now she discovers that the factory is closed. She's young, got married when she was 18. This happened when she was about 19, recovered at 20. Now she is the prime of her youth. And she's got feelings and emotions. So then she had to go and fulfill her things, right? You see, all his children are not my children. She went, that person, that person, that person, and she brought children here. It's not my children. It's her children. And I can't talk about it because people will feel that I'm inactive. I lost my manhood. How will they look at me? I can't even talk about it, but I can't live with it also. But you see this. Now he comes up to Khizr and he says, "No, I've seen the thing. I've seen all the wealthy people. And I saw the end of wealth. At the beginning, I only saw it from one perspective. Wealth. What wealth will do for you. How it will make you prosperous. It will do for you. It will work for you." So I only saw wealth from one perspective. Now I understand there's another side to the story. So now I'm making dua. Allah, give me afiyat and let me be a devoted servant. With ease, let me be a devoted servant. The world will carry on. There'll be unstitch always. There'll be turbulence in the world. Fluctuations, highs and lows. But in all that highs and lows and fluctuations, let me be a devoted servant and give me ease that I'm protected from all the turbulence. It'll be a ride, and the ride's going to have turbulence. Allah Ta'ala, protect me from that, and let me be in your service, right till I. So, this realization comes up after a lot of time. So we see all these things here, but we just see it from one perspective, and then we make up our minds that I got this, things will happen. I don't have it, therefore it's not happening. So I got this, and this is how our minds work. But we don't know that when you got the thing, we'll be different people. There was one student here, right? So, used to be selling second-hand cars, right now. So, on the back of his car, he's got tawakkul. So I asked him, say, you got a brand new Merc now, brand new, came out of the box. Would you put that tawakkul there? Said, oh, why? I said, why? What's the difference with this and this one here? You trust in Allah Ta'ala only when it's a second hand. But if it's a brand new car, then you don't trust in Allah Ta'ala. See, our minds just change. They don't work right. So, without that wealth, we are different. With that wealth, we are different. You see, attitude just changing. Straight just changing. Someone is driving an old Corolla, right? Old Corolla, problems, making noise and all that. So you see the attitude. Wealth and attitude. See, pride and wealth. How it goes. Interlocks. So if you greet him with both hands, Alaikum, Alaikum Salam, how are you? He's driving the car, but very humble, making salam with you with both hands. Now suddenly, he is driving a brand new Merc, right? Brand new BM, just came out of the box. He's doing a lot of money now. Now he's got a glass with golden frame, got two pens here, and so. And now you make him salam, if he's driving, then with the side of the eyes. But you see the attitude change. The attitude just changes. Now we don't realize that this whole exercise of life is to learn servitude, to learn to become a slave, not to learn to become a boss. Our minds are such now that we think that the life is meant for us to be a boss. No. It's not to learn to become a boss. It's to learn to become a slave. فَذَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. See that hadith. After all favors of everything, he's got everything. The world is at his feet. And then he says what? فَذَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. The hadith says that at that time, Muslim exerted himself in ibadah, showing servitude to Allah Ta'ala, to the extent that his feet cracked, to the extent that the feet began to swell. And he would become like an old, withered away leather bag, you know, pale leather. So, the whole idea of life is not to become a boss, not recognition. The idea of life is to learn to become a true servant, slave. Whatever is required of me at whichever time, and I'm offering it. Allah wants me to do something now, I do it. So we do something else now, something. Khalid ibn Walid's story is quite popular. So Khalid was appointed by Abu Bakr Siddiq to be the governor of the whole area of Sham, right? And Umar felt that's not the better thing. And his reasoning was, see, Khalid is around and he is the Saifullah. Just the name of Khalid will send terror waves in the hearts of the enemy, right? But tomorrow if he dies, something happens, then the terror and horror will be out of the hearts. Right? The kuffar will, and then the problem on the side of the Muslim will be that the whole nazar will be on Khalid, not on Allah Ta'ala. A Muslim wins. Why? Primarily because of his nazar on Allah Ta'ala. His firmness on deen and his sight in Allah Ta'ala, that brings him the glory. But now if their sight has turned away from Allah Ta'ala to Khalid, then it's dangerous. They may just... Abu Bakr's khilafat was very short. It's about 2 years that he passed away. Now, Umar radiallahu's khilafat. So amongst the first thing is he got him replaced by Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah. Now, Khalid radiallahu is back in Medina Munawara. Before he was at what position? Governor, right? Influence, etc. Now he's returned back to Medina. Umar radiallahu's his whole tartib for the day, you know, his program for the day would be something, and at night he's patrolling the streets of Medina Munawara, see now that I am the Khalifa, I have got the control of the finances. The finances doesn't mean that I must live a more haughty, wealthier life, no. Now, when he's given me the finances control, then the need now is greater that I must see to the well-being of my people. That's why Allah gave me the control, that I am seeked to the well-being. How many of us that are wealthy think like that? That Allah gave me more wealth, and that more wealth was not to show my haughtiness, not to show pride, not to become more extravagant. No. It was to be more considerate to the people that are lower than me. How many of us think that? See that, I showed you that wealth, attitude, see. Now look within us, wealth and attitude. That do we become like that, that when we've got more finance, that we become more considerate to the people of the town, neighbors, families, immediate, extended, do we think like that? So anyway, Umar is making his rounds in Madina Munawara, right? And he's overhearing one chit-chat, see? It's dark now, right? And someone has mistaken the person to be Khalid. So because Umar radiallahu anhu and Khalid's physique was about the same. And in the dark, this person mistaken Umar radiallahu anhu to be Khalid radiallahu anhu. Now Khalid is back, right? And he's mistaken Umar radiallahu anhu to be Khalid. So he's talking to Umar radiallahu anhu, thinking that he's Khalid. By Khalid, you know, my brother Khalid, I'm so distressed that you removed from your position, your influence, and now you're just an ordinary person. Umar radiallahu anhu is just remaining silent. Because he's the Khalifa, and he needs to know what's in the minds of the people, so that the administration can go well. If he doesn't know what's going on, then how is he going to get the administration right? I'm quiet now. I'm too distressed of what's happened. You know, things are going so well, so beautiful. What a position you had, and now you're stripped of your position. Anyway, finished. In the morning, Umar radiallahu anhu summoned that person. He summoned that person and he's asking him, who were you speaking to the previous night? To Khalid. And what did you say? And what response you got from Khalid? So he gave everything. Now he called us, Khalid, what happened last night? I don't know anything about it. I don't know anything about it. So this person is saying, Are Khalid, Khuda se dar, Umar se mat daro. Don't fear Umar, fear Allah Ta'ala. He doesn't know what's going on. Because he mistaken him the previous night. So, Are Khalid, Khuda se dar. Anyway, the whole thing went. Umar had to discipline this person. You don't talk like this. Because you're sending a wave, an aerial of, you're sending an aerial of being discontent with the administration that brings about failure, that brings about problems. If one person is talking against it, second person against it, third person against it, so what happens? The whole thing collapses. Caution him. So someone asked, now this was the line that I wanted to share with you. So someone asked, you know, we talk of position, pride, wealth and pride. So someone asked, Khalid is young, but now you were in such a great, grand position, and now you're just an ordinary foot soldier. Do you find any difference in your whole demeanor, in your outlook, whatever else? So not at all. Why? So no, my work is the service of Deen. If Deen wants me to be serving as a governor, then let it be. And if Deen wants me to be serving as a foot soldier, as an ordinary foot soldier, let it be. So the position is not the criteria, it's a service to Deen. It's an honor for me that I serve Deen in the highest of positions or the lowest of positions, but the fact that I'm of service to Deen, that's the criteria. See the thinking. Allah Bhaktu feels it.